Hope you had a nice Shabbos, gentlemen. I heard on Friday a very nice Rabbi Zulzbach, Manal of Mono Grammar School, said a very moidige Meister. I was very impressed. He said that Rabbi Miller, Zichroni Livrocha, did he say it in? Rabbi Miller, Zichroni Livrocha, was the head of the gate set. Rabbi Motcha Miller was the head of the gate set, Sam. For many years. I remember him very well, because he used to give shir for Bochim as well. Do you remember? He used to go to the... And he was a Talmud of Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler told him, this is going back in the early 50s, told him that when you go to the on the bus, he told him that when you go on the bus, in Rav Dessler was teaching him, so when you go to the bus, there used to be double-decker buses, and the conductor used to, when you go around, you have to pay the, when the conductor used to go around the double-decker buses. So he said that there was a short distance. And he said, if you go to the front, on the top floor, on the front seat, you might be able to make it before he makes his round. And he can just go out. And so Avdesta told him, never do that. Never do that. Whenever you are in the bus, make sure that you go up to him and you make sure that you pay. So Avdesta told Ramela that whenever you're in the bus, make sure that you pay. Even though you can make it out, you can make it by sneaking out. So Rabbi Miller's, it was then a bach, it was a young bach, but he kept that in mind, he kept that. And he remembered it for many years. He eventually became the head of Gates at Sam, and he used to say this story very frequently, and he said that, he told the girls in Sam that when you are in a bus, or you should always make sure, in the train for that matter, just make sure to pay, even though you could get. So one day, there's two girls that Rabbi Miller gets a phone call, and he says, it's Mr. Jones from the... Rabbi Miller gets a phone call in... do you know the story? I heard it from you, Manal. The Manal of Gateshead Sam gets a phone call, and he introduces himself. My name is Mr. Jones. I'm the head of the Gateshead the Newcastle Bus Company. I don't know what the name is. And he said, I have to tell you a story. I've got, Rabbi Miller says, yes, how can I help? He said, I have to tell you, it's the most unbelievable incident. He said, I've got two girls over here that were by me. And the story goes like this. There was two girls from Gateshead Sam. They were taking a bus ride. And it was packed out. And by the time they wanted to pay, they had to go out, they were shoveled out, and just couldn't pay for the tickets. And then as we go out, they told the conductor they want to pay, and they said, no, just pay tomorrow. We can't, it's too busy now, just pay tomorrow. And the two girls walked out, and the following day, they went to the bus station, and said, we'd like to pay for yesterday's ride that we had. And he's all shocked, for yesterday's ride, you're paying. He said, yeah, for yesterday's ride, we didn't pay for it. We'd like to pay for it now. And he said, well, I can't, the system doesn't allow it. You can pay for next week, you can pay for 2 weeks' time, you can pay for next month, but you can't, the system doesn't allow for. And he goes, no, please, can I? He said, well, if you want to pay, you have to go to the head office. And then he said, okay, fine, so they paid for the ride. He went to the head office, and they reached the head office, they go, I said, we'd like to pay for the ride we had yesterday. And they tell him the story. And I said, well, sorry, we can't deal with such a request. We can't process it. We can't do it. So just... And the two girls burst out crying. 18-year-old girls, they burst out crying. They said, we want to pay. Yeah, it's not right. What are we going to do? We have to pay for this ride. And they said, okay, well, nothing we're doing. We have to escalate it to senior management. two crying girls in front of him. They were frantic little girls. You can't. So they went to Mr. Jones upstairs. And they said the story, and Mr. Jones says he couldn't believe it. And he said he allowed them to pay the fee somehow. He managed to somehow cheat the systems to allow them the payment to be processed and to bypass the formal regulations. And then after he left the office, he called Prime Minister. I was a bit, I had my reservations about your seminary, I had my reservations about your institutions, about the Jewish Orthodox world. It looked a bit odd to me. But I can see if that's what you produce, then I have to change my opinion about you. And that was the phone call to Rabbi Miller Zichroni Livrocha. I heard it from Rabbi Zulzbach on Friday. It's amazing. My mom's a beautiful story. Yeah, okay. Okay, we're up to Simon Shin Mem Hei, and we are learning Seif Yud Dalet. and you page 396, and the halacha is as follows. Ezel Karmelis, what's the definition of a Karmelis? Now, we've got to remember that a Karmelis is as opposed to Rosh Hashayachid and Rosh Hashayachid, in the public and the private domains, they are considered... Oh yeah, very good. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, see if you give me. Choyrim shebek solim, holes in the walls. You're right, yes. Kaper Rosh Hashayachid, with regards to... You've got walls which are around the Rosh, on the side of Rosh Hashayachid. The holes in the walls, which are facing the Rosh Hashanah. So you've got a wall, but that wall has got a protrude, it's got a hole. If they're higher than three tefachim from the ground, they're not considered Rosh Hashanah. If they're lower, then they're automatically going to be considered Rosh Hashanah. If they're higher than three tefachim, they may not be considered Rosh Hashanah. Elo, rather, they're judged in its own right. So it could be that they're Rosh Hashanah in their own, could be that they will be small and therefore bottled to Rosh Hashanah. So it depends according to their share. And now see if you doubt it, that's top of page 396. So Rosh Yochid is a Torah domain. Rosh Hashanah is also a Torah domain. The Rosh is Minat Torah. With regards to the Karmelis, not so. Karmelis does not exist from a Torah perspective. It's a domain which is created by the Rabbon. And in fact, we'll see that there are very often that a Karmelis is a Rosh Hashayachid or Rosh Hashanah, which didn't quite make it, which failed the real definitions for various reasons. He didn't quite make it to be Rosh Hashayachid, or didn't quite make it to be Rosh Hashanah, and therefore it became a Karmelis. So Karmelis is the Rabbanon domain, and we'll see that actually Karmelis is probably, perhaps, in a way, the most common domain. So what is the definition of a Karmelis? Ezu Karmelis, what is a Karmelis? Mokoim, a place, she'ein heluch l'rabim. It is not a place that has, it's not heluch l'rabim, it's not heluch, a passage for the rabbim for many people. Could be there is many people there, but it's not intrinsically a mokom rabim like a Rosh Hashanah. What would be examples could go in such as Yam, the sea, Uvika, valley. So these are all Rishuyos, which are not, can't, a sea, or a valley. In fact, the Mishneh Berurah adds, Sodois. You've got fields. What's a field? You go out in the fields. What's a field? What's the domain? What domain is a field? In a park. What is it? So it's not Rosh Hashanah because it's not surrounded by a fence. If it is surrounded by a fence, it may perhaps be Rosh Hashanah, but not necessarily. But if there's no fence around it, it certainly cannot be Rosh Hashanah. Is it Rosh Hashanah? No. It's not Rosh Hashanah. That may be a little bit confusing, because there is many people who go there. A park, a public field, public park. It's not Rosh Hashanah, although many people may access it, and everybody is allowed to access it. But why is it not Rosh Hashanah? Why is a field not Rosh Hashanah? If you need 600,000 people, you certainly haven't got it, right? And according to the first opinion, that you do not need 600,000 people. You may not have any people there, correct? So in other words, if I can just rephrase this, Rosh Hashanah is defined by an area which is meant for the rabbin to go past, from one place to the next. And it's used for a rabbin. It is the way the rabbin will go from one place to the next. Sif Zayin in page 392 defined Rosh Hashanah. Hez Rosh Hashanah, choivos, streets, shvaki, marketplaces. Ha'chovim tezanam is 16 amas wide. That is Rosh Hashanah. It's a place that people are going to use to go from one place to the next. The field is not like that. The field just happens to be. People can go there. It's not intrinsically Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, it's a Karmelis. So again, could go in a sea, a bikar, a valley, a field. It's the area before the shops. That the people who are selling merchandise are sitting there. These are The way we picture it, you know, you have the shops, and outside they keep the merchandise for people to come and have browse and have a look and perhaps even sell. And what's that area called? That's the area that is not Rishus Yochid. It's not surrounded by walls. It's not Rishus Rabin because people can't go past it. It's a shop. It's the external area of the shop. It's the browsing area of the shop, and it's outside. It's on the street. It's on the pavement. So that's not Rishus Rabin. It's not Rishus Yochid. It's disturbing the Hiluch HaRabim, so it can't be Rishus HaRabim. It's not surrounded by walls, so not Rishus Yochid. There's no walls around it. So therefore, it's not going to be Rishus Yochid either. So therefore, it's a Karmelis. Shelifnei Amudim Rishus HaRabim, and also, Shelifnei Amudim before the pillars, before the entrance, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim, V'yichov Arba, V'gvoya Mishloish V'ad Asorah. So that's the area. It's not going to be a Shiyoch. No, I'm just going to be a Kamelis. Ve'keren Zov is a smuch lo Rishus HaRabim. Now that's interesting. Keren Zov means a corner, which is adjoining, which is near Rishus HaRabim. So you have a corner. You have an area that is not properly the Rishus HaRabim. A little bit of a marshal to that will be the picture you have next to number 40. Can you see that? It's not exactly what the Shulchan Aruch means, but just can you see there's an area over there which is not part of the Rabbim going past. It's like a corner, and people are not actually walking past there. So that's going to be a Karmelis as well. Kugon Mavoyah Sheshlan Shlosh Mechitzes Ve'Lam Lechi Okor Rebrevis. Oh, you have Ali, which is not Rishus Yochid or Rishus Rabbim. It's going to be a Karmelis. V'Rishus Rabbim Shul Mekari. That's an interesting one. There is part of the definition of Rishus Rabbim is that it's not covered. Once it is covered, it fails the definition of Rishus HaRabim, and therefore it can't be Rishus HaRabim anymore. So imagine you've got an open space which is covered. Imagine you've got perhaps even a stadium. You've got a market. You've got a massive shop area, market area, but it is covered. So the rule is that a Rishus HaRabim is never going to be covered. That's it's therefore not going to be Rishus HaRabim anymore. Although you may have even 600,000 people there. But if it is Mekura, it's roofed, it's not Rishus HaRabim. So what is it going to be? That's right, it's a Karmelis. So Rishus HaRabim Shul Mekura, if Rishus HaRabim which is covered, is not Rishus HaRabim, but it becomes a Karmelis. The tail, a heaped heap of something, Shesh Ba'abur Al-Abur, which is 4 and 4 wide. Ve'enu Gavai Asor, but it's not 10 Tfachim high. What happens if it's 10 Tfachim high? It becomes Rishus Yochid, that's right. So if it's a little bit less than that, it cannot be Rishus Yochid, it's going to be a Karmelis. V'chen Choretz, if you groove, Sha'abo al-abo, which is 4 and 4 wide, a groove, ditch, that's right, thank you very much. V'en HaMekamasor, it's not 10 Tfachim deep. Because once it is 10 Tfachim deep, then what? It's Rishus Yochid. Yeah. Oh, good question. That's a really interesting question. I have to think about this. If it's a Yeah, I think that I have to think about this. Yeah, so I would think that if it's something which can be, I would think that once it's open, he will be Rishus HaRabim, and once it's Mekur, it becomes a Karmelis. But the question is better than the answer. I have to think about it. It's interesting. It's interesting. It will perhaps change its status when the roof is removed. But it's a good question. Yeah, stadium is, I suppose, if it's surrounded by walls, I've never been in a stadium, but if it is surrounded by walls, then I suppose, yeah, so thank you. So that would be, yeah, if it is surrounded by walls, then it will be Rishus Yochid, yeah. Yeah. Okay, moving on to Simon Shinam Advav. See if you'd gimel. We are up to Simon Shinam Advav, see if you'd gimel, and actually a new topic. See if you'd gimel, yeah, page Kuf, page Beis in our editions. Simon Shinam Advav, see if you'd gimel. Okay, we spoke a little bit about the topic of using
The Shulchan Aruch started speaking about not Siv Aleph, which we learned a little while ago. We're not allowed to go up a tree. Because why are we not allowed to go up a tree?
Breaking branches.
Yeah. Now, what about using a tree? So we touched on the subject of using a tree. Are you allowed to use a tree? For instance, you're walking past, you want to tie your shoelaces. Can you just lean your shoe, your foot, you're like leaning on the tree in order to tie your shoe, tie your shoelace? Or, allowed to do that? Or perhaps, are you allowed to walk past and, pardon? Yeah, good. We'll define that a little bit sharper tonight. I mean, it's Hashem. Hanging up your hat on a tree. Okay, we'll define all that. So, the Shulchan Aruch is going to differentiate now between Tzdadim and Tzdidei Tzdadim. And let us hear what the Shulchan Aruch says. See if you'd give him a third line. Also, Leishtamesh Betzdadei Ha'ilo. Not only you're not allowed to use the actual tree, but you're also not allowed to use the Tzdadim, the attachments, what is attached to the tree. So, the tree itself, obviously, you're not allowed to use. The branches of the tree are also not allowed to use. But not only that, if you've got something which is attached onto the tree, you're also not allowed to use it. So for instance, you've got a nail on a tree. You want to hang up your hat on the nail? You're not allowed to. Why? Because it's called the side. It's not named the side. Won't be a more accurate translation. An attachment, a side, well, it's tzdadim of the tree, and that's why it's also. However, Shulchan Aruch continues, havol betzidei tzdadim mutter. But if you've got something which is attached, that is attachment of the tree, that will be mutter. He gives us an example. Lefich lefo. Hosu lismoich ha-sulam letzidei ha-ilon. You may not lean a sulam, a ladder, letzidei ha-ilon, to the side of the tree. Why? The chisolik bay mishtamesh peilon. Because once you're leaning on it and you're using the ladder, you're mishtamesh peilon. You're using the tree. So there is the intrinsic connection to the tzdadim, to the actual tree. The chisolik bay mishtamesh betzdadim. But avolim ish yaseh tkua betzidei ha'ilon. But if you've got, for instance, yaseh a nail tkua a nail is affixed, that's right, thank you. Petzida ilon, if you've got a nail which is affixed onto the tree, muta lisma chsulam olav, then you may lean a ladder onto that nail. So if the ladder is not actually leaning on the tree, but it's leaning on that strong nail, let's imagine not a small nail, but a proper, big, firm, strong, wouldn't it be called a nail? How would you call it? Yeah, you take a doll. So let's say you've got a strong piece of wood which you have fixed onto the tree. Imagine you've got a tree, and onto that tree you're affixing not just a small metal nail, but a bigger thing which you're fixed onto the tree. And now you are leaning the ladder onto that attachment of the tree. So that is permitted. Why? Because the ladder is not leaning on the tree, but it's leaning on that yosed, on that nail. So that's why it's muta. It's still it's done is muta. I'm repeating the words. If you've got an item which is attached, affixed onto the side of the tree, muta lisma chsulam alav, you may lean the ladder onto that. Because this yosed is the tzdadin, is the side, the sulam, tzidei tzdadin, the ladder is leaning onto that attachment of the actual tree. Similarly also, if you are leaning a basket, you've got noetz b'yoseid, you've got a nail onto the tree, and you're hanging on the basket, you're hanging the basket onto that nail, which is onto the tree, what's going to be the halacha? Hayosed nikot stodin, the nail is the stodin, v'akalkolok it's still stodin, the basket is the attachment of the nail, and that's why it's going to be mutter. That's right. So let us see Mishnah Berurah over here in Seif Koton, Sivkot nun tes. Bitzodeo ilon. Perish dovo hatocho vo kosher be ilon. Something which is attached or inserted onto the tree. Mikri is called stodeo ilon. It's called the sides of the tree. Havel dofneo ilon. But the, the sides of the actual tree, the tree itself, the branches and the actual tree is obviously not considered stodin, that's the tree itself. And the sides of the tree, something which is leaning on something which is attached onto the tree. It's just showing that it is that stodden is relying. The stodden is also because without the stodden you'd be using the tree. It's just showing us that it's stodden. Yeah.
But in this case, when the lead is leaning against the tree, there's nothing in the tree. The lead is against the tree.
So therefore, the ladder is relying on the tree, and that's why it's also. But if the ladder would not be relying on the tree, if the ladder would be relying on something else, then even if you take the it just shows that it's one removed.
I'm not saying why it's using so much from the tree itself.
Chisolik be mishtamish betzodin. In other words, what would be the halacha if you've got you like to relax on Shabbos, on a nice hammock which is between two trees? Sounds like a plan. So now, would you be allowed? Forget about tying it on Shabbos. Okay, I wonder if you're allowed to go and relax into that comfortable position on Shabbos. You're allowed to go into the hammock on Shabbos. Oh, very good. Very good. So the question is, as Rabbi Kagan points out, it depends how it is attached. So let's think it through. If it's attached around the tree, if it's simply got a rope on both, a rope, and it's just tying around the tree, then what's going to be the halacha? Also, why?
Because it's directly attached to the tree.
Absolutely, because it's directly attached to the tree. However, how could we sort this out?
You have it attached, the rope instead of around the tree, attached to the nail.
Absolutely, that's right. Very good. If the rope would be attached onto a nail as opposed to the actual tree, then the halacha will be that it is mutter because it's considered. It's studded, and that's going to be mutter. That's right. As simple as that. That's right. That leads us to the Ramah. Says the Ramah, Umuta liga be'ilon, says the Ramah, it is permitted to touch the tree. To touch a tree be'etzem is muta. Muta liga, you're allowed to touch. He was mentioned in earlier Mishnah as well. Muta liga, but you're allowed to touch. U'bilvad shelo yenidenu, as long as it's not shockling it. As long as you're not moving it. As long as it's not moving the tree, it is muta. So, in our shoe laces example, the halacha will be, if you're not shaking the tree, you're okay. Yeah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, adds over here, interestingly, a bit of an interesting, can we go towards the end of Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Samach Gimel? In our editions, it's before this Akdim, which is the next siman already, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from this Akdim, which is in our editions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the top, he discusses the shaila of leaning on a tree. If you're tired, as you walked a long way, now you're getting a bit tired, you want to lean on something. So, you're allowed to lean on a tree. You're allowed to lean on a tree? Lean on a tree? You're allowed to lean on a tree? I think it's pretty firm. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Veleshon be'ilon and lean on a tree." The halacha, "Him adam bari mutter." If the person is strong, it's permitted. A healthy person is allowed to lean on a tree. For tashkayach, and somebody is weak, also it's forbidden for a weak person to lean on a tree. Ve'atam, and the reason, what could the reason be? The adam bari, that's right, a healthy person, eino soimech alav, he's not really relying on it. He's not relying on it. Elo ma'at, only a little bit. V'lo mikri mishtavish b'mechob, is not considered using the tree. Avol tashkayach, but a weak person, tzorech lismach b'chol koich alav, he's nebuch weak and ishmach. He's putting all his koichs onto the tree. He's like, whoa, he's all his koichs is onto the tree. And it's considered using. Yeah, it's using mishtamish, using mechuba to tree also. That's going back to your point. That's if he's not shuckling, he's not shaking the tree. But if he's shuckling the tree, also it's either way going to be also because that itself is considered mishtamshus. That itself is considered using the tree.
Okay, Rabbi said. Just to recap, so we learned that one is not, there's a big distinction between the tree, you're not allowed to use the tree per se, full stop. You are not allowed to use the tzodim of the tree, something which is directly attached and connected to the tree, you may not use. You are, however, allowed to use something which is connected to the connection of the tree. That's okay. So the example would be the hammock which is attached to the nail, or the basket which is hanging onto the nail, or anything like that. That's mutter. Then we learned that you're allowed to touch a tree as long as you're not shaking a tree. Shaking a tree is always going to be also. And we also learned that with regards to leaning on the tree, you're allowed to lean on a tree if you're healthy. If you're very weak and you're putting all your koiches onto the tree, that's going to be also either way. But again, if you're shuckling, if the tree is shaking from your leaning, that's going to be also either way. Good evening, gentlemen.